You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So if you're a fan of The Thursday Wire, you'll be familiar with Oscar's Community Garden, in which he forages for community projects and activations around Tamaki Makaurau. To continue with our recycling theme today, he's talking to Carl from Loop Group about reallocating wasted bikes.
Loop Group.
Well, who, what, and why? So Loop Group is kind of a loose group of people. I kind of spearheaded it in the beginning. My name is Carl Nouse. I was doing a job for Auckland Council, going door-to-door telling people about the new inorganic service where they collect all the reusable and recyclable things and take them to this big facility, which community groups can gain access to. And on the last day of this job, they took us on a tour of this place, and there was just this pile of bicycles, like maybe 200 bikes. And I was like, oh, shit, somebody has to do something about this. I guess it's me. So I started getting bikes from there and just started pulling them apart and putting them back together. And then eventually we gained the space on Mini Street. And then we've kind of had that. We've been there for about 2.5 years now. And I've kind of just been slowly, organically building from there. So we offer our space and our tools and our parts to anyone who wants to use them, really. So people sometimes turn up and ask me, how does this work? And I say, however you want it to, or somewhat, or something like that, because it is very open. Like, if somebody wants their bike repaired, we can do it for them. If they want to learn how to repair their own bike, we can guide them through that. If they just want a space, they already know what they're doing and they just want a space and some tools and some parts, we've also got that, because we have this massive pool of used bikes. That's basically it.
Amazing. What does the bike symbolise to you?
When I first started riding a bike for transport, it was because I didn't have very much money and needed to get places. And a friend gave me a bike and I just started riding. And you get this, like, immense sense of freedom by not having to put petrol in it, not having to top up your hop card, and it being quite fast. Not, if you're going within 5-10 kilometres, a bicycle's often the fastest way to get somewhere. And, you know, you get exercise and you just feel really good. You know, I commute to work, and when I get to work, I'm, like, stoked because I've just done some mad exercise and had a little hoon around the city. And, there is a certain amount of freedom, and the fact that they are, like, endlessly repairable, and especially with bikes from, like, the 80s to the 90s, pretty much everything is standardised. You can mix and match parts. You can make, like, ridiculous Franken bikes. You can, you know, there's only certain situations where a bike is beyond repair or entirely useless. And even then, all its parts can be taken and reused on other things.
Yeah, certainly.
I think there aren't many objects left in our society that, like, retain that level of modularity, where just a layman can just go in and just kind of rip it together and figure out how it goes together and re-put it back together.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've got a kind of, originally it was I think 86 Healing Skylark. It's certainly not that anymore. It's like the only thing that's original is the frame, but yeah, it's that amazing modularity and freedom and creating it, which is super cool. So is it just kind of bike-oriented projects at Loop Group, or do other projects also operate in Loop Group?
We've had kind of things pass through us. There's nothing really permanently set up there. We've had a few people, like, cupping and planting some stuff out the back, and just people, like, work, like, my friend Scott came and repaired his shoes there the other day. And, you know, there's scope for that, you know, and we welcome it. Like, if, you know, we've got space, if somebody wants to build a little shed and do something there, we're more than happy to have them there. Yeah, we just focus mainly on bikes because that's our love, and that's how this space started. But, you know, in addition to the gigantic pile of junk bikes we have, we also have various other kinds of junk. We've got a wood shed, we've got just various tools and some weird electronics bits, and yeah, there's other things going on a little bit.
Yeah. On your website / social media, it says that Loop Group is a worker cooperative. What is a worker cooperative, for those who do not know?
It just means that the people who use it are the people who own it. We don't really have a formal membership structure. It's kind of what you could describe as an adhocracy, where you can come, you can do stuff, and everything belongs to you. There's no hierarchy in decision making. Because people are so used to working in hierarchies, you get this natural authority forming where people always ask me questions and ask me if they're allowed to do things, but the answer is always yes. Or the answer is don't ask me, just do it. So I think a worker cooperative is, yeah, it's about ownership and about the space being a collective space more than a space that we own and outsiders pay for.
Your kind of mission statement-esque thing includes the term circularity. Is that also relating to kind of like a cooperative feeding off one another, or is that to do with kind of waste reusal?
It's both, yeah. So there's the social element of circularity and there's the material element of circularity. And, you know, I have a lot of, like, friends and acquaintances that come through Loop Group who just turn up needing bits for art projects, who might need a wheel for building something, or, like, you know, and we cooperate with those people and make sure they know that that space is theirs as much as it's ours, because it is a community resource.
Again, relating back to just the mission statement kind of thing, it says you guys make trash useful again, and I assume that also relates to the bikes and reconstructing the bikes and giving people the freedom that comes with the bike. But how do we make trash useful again, or can trash actually be useful?
Yeah, I guess in our context, the trash usually refers to objects that are in a state of disrepair and certain kinds of waste. Like the shed, for example, on our site was built entirely from recycled timber that we got from various places. You know, everything on that site has been diverted from a waste stream in some way, apart from a few of the tools that we, you know, the bike tools that we bought new. Even some of the other tools are, you know, from dump shops and from CRN, the council facility. And yeah, for us, making trash useful again is diverting those things from the waste stream and repairing them or getting them to a state where they can be useful again.
I've got just two last questions for you. Do you think that community engagement can ensure democracy at a local kind of level and even on a larger level?
Yeah, I think community engagement is hugely important. I think it's really important that we create structures that are non-capitalist and that people can engage with, and people can, like, feel comfortable engaging in those structures. Like, this is one of the issues we face, is that people are afraid to engage in the structure because it's unfamiliar. And I think the more non-capitalist structures and the more open structures there are that people are engaging with, the easier those are to understand and the more successful each one of those will become. And I think it is really important for democracy and for, you know, for people participating, because that's what true democracy requires, I think, is participation. And I think our society has a bit of a problem with participation in a lot of senses.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so the final question, what is community?
What is community? Oh, that's a hard one. I think there's a part to community that is real and centres around place and interest, and there's a part of community that is just, like, that lives in our heads, that we, like, imagine we live in this, like, this network, you know, you imagine a community and you kind of visualise all these little people and, like, faces and circles and little lines drawn between them. And I think that reciprocation between people and maybe even, like, a shared value or something is what creates community. But then, of course, there's the thing of just being in a place with a bunch of other people. And I think maybe those two things are both kind of required.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.